course, that's Linda Ronstadt there with Erin Nevin and Always the Last to Know, or Let Me Be the Last to Know. Okay, in studio now, I have, of course, Fergal Somerville, a local swimmer, as I said. That's understating it quite a lot. Good afternoon, Fergal. How are you?
How are you doing, Noel?
Not too bad. Not too bad. And on the line also, I have Bryn Dimmitt. Dermot. Am I pronounced that right, Bryn?
Well, I'll answer to anything, but dime up more readily.
Okay. And you're over in Wales, actually.
Well, I'm Welsh, but I'm actually living in a small town called St. Neots, just outside Cambridge.
Okay, I was just going to say we'll get Fergal just go for a quick dip and swim over to you during the lunch hour or something like that.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Okay, I'll talk to Fergal for a minute and then I'll come back to you if you just stay on the line there, Bryn.
Will do, thank you.
Okay, lad, this was last Saturday. Tell me about what happened last Saturday, Fergal.
Noel, 16 seasoned ice swimmers turned up in Loch Dan in County Wicklow, and we, under supervision of many good people, we jumped in and we swam four laps within the lake, completing a 1 mile circuit, and got out and got dressed. But it's what's known as an international ice mile. The water temperature was 3.8 degrees. And we had all been swimming all over the winter, a distance of a mile, trying to get used to swimming that distance as the temperature of the water came down.
Okay, being a little bit comical, I suppose I shouldn't be, but after that, it takes you a while to get back in form for Valentine's Day, I imagine.
Well, not youngsters like us now. No, it doesn't.
Okay. it was quite an international swim, though. I mean, Bryn there, but there was also people from Italy and where else?
People came from Italy, from England, Bryn, who we would say came from Wales. We had a couple of lads from the north. We had a young lady from Zimbabwe, also living in England. And we had a huge contingent of rebels came up from the county of Cork.
Mm-hmm. Now, this started, if I'm not wrong, if I'm reading my notes right, in Africa, is that right?
There's a gentleman called Rambar Khoi lives in South Africa, and he established what's known as the International Ice Swimming Association.
Where would you get that idea in a country that we commonly think of being very, very hot all the time?
We do, but there's actually still mountainous areas there, Noel, and when we're enjoying our summer, and he's enjoying his summer at the moment, mm-hmm. He was on Bacardi's when I rang him there after the swim. But they do have lakes of that temperature, and that's where they started this back in 2009. And he started and established the association, which has grown since then, and he has a name of getting swimming into the Winter Olympics.
Okay, now this is the International Ice Swimming Association. That was formed, what, in 2009?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So it's a relatively short period of time.
It is indeed, and they set up the Blue Ribbon event of the Ice Mile, which is the signature of the International Ice Swimming Association, and it's probably what most winter swimmers ultimately aim for. You know, okay. It's a very difficult thing to aim for and to achieve, and many people who start swimming with us in October and November often find that the temperature, once it drops down below 10 degrees or so, find it quite difficult and opt out.
Okay, go over to you, Bryn. When did you first get involved with the association and sort of specialising in the breaststroke? Was it in the ice mile?
Well, I've been a breaststroker all my life. Okay. So that's my sort of the stroke that likes me, which makes it easier to swim.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the cold water, then I guess that started 4 or 5 years ago. Over here, we swim in rivers, and two people in the group took a photograph and posted it of them standing in the snow with the river behind them,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't wearing their wetsuits. So we assumed that they'd been swimming and thought, well, if they can do it, so can we.
Mm-hmm.
It only later appeared that they hadn't actually been for a swim. So that's what got me started.
Okay. And do you travel as well to the swimming, and what achievements had you had? I haven't got a full list of what you've done, so can you?
I've been down to the, I'm not sure what phrase Fergal used, but I've been swimming in the county of Cork a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I've done the distance week down there with Ned Dennison, and that was in preparation for an English Channel attempt that I made breaststroke. I have to use the word attempt because while I started, I didn't get to France. But that was a breaststroke attempt that I made 2 years ago.
Has anyone done it with the breaststroke, though?
They have, yeah. The very first crossing was by Captain Matthew Webb. That was breaststroke.
Okay.
And then last year, an English fellow called Tony Bailey, he got across breaststroke. And that was his third attempt. And it did take him 26 hours.
Okay.
Breaststroke, I find it a lot easier than freestyle, but in truth, freestyle is the better stroke because you can swim more quickly and you can swim and it keeps you warmer.
Yeah, I imagine it's more arduous just doing the breaststroke all the time. I imagine so, anyway.
Well, it isn't for me, but that is the given opinion that freestyle is an easier, more comfortable stroke, and certainly in terms of keeping your upper body warm, then freestyle and arm action and sort of rolling at the top there, that does keep your body warm. Breaststroking is a lot of activity with your legs, and if your legs get hot, that heat is wasted.
Yeah. Can I ask you about your background as well? Because this young fellow in front of me here, now Fergal, he came into it late in life. What about yourself? When did you get interested in...
Well, I'm now 52, and I've been swimming outdoors for about 7 or 8 years. So I guess I was a fairly young starter like Fergal.
Wow. What is this about it? The age of... What did you call a midlife crisis you get?
Middle age
crisis.
I think it's an infection, and it blew across from Fergal, and we caught it over here as well.
Does a form of competitiveness come into it as well, Bryn?
The really beautiful thing about open water swimming and Fergal's event really encapsulated it is, yes, it's competitive, but not between the individual swimmers. It's because everybody wants the other swimmers to succeed.
So it's the elements you're battling.
Between the individual and the distance.
Okay, so it's the elements really you're competing against.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just ask Fergal now. Ned Dennison, he's a giant of the open water swimming world. He took to the lake first. Was there any reason for that, Fergal?
He's the oldest.
Give him a head start. Give him a head start.
Ned was on the Zimmer frame. Funny enough, we had Anne McAdam, the president of Swim Ireland, down, and I think she must have given him a nod, to get it going on the Zimmer and the likes of. But Ned took off like a bullet from a gun when Anne gave the go ahead, and the rest of us were just sort of trying to stroll out into the lake to get going. Mm-hmm. But in fairness to Ned, as I said at the start of the swim, our average age was for everybody was pulled up because of Ned and the likes, But Ned got in ahead of us at the start, and he finished ahead of us at the finish. Mm-hmm. He was actually the fastest home. And a colleague of his from Myrtleville and Sandy Cove and Cork, Carmel Collins, was the fastest lady home. Mm-hmm. But then, it's not competitive, it's not a race. We just acknowledge that for the pair of them and everybody else down. There's an acknowledgement and a small trophy to say that you turned up and you attempted this, because it's in some ways, it's like a marathon swim or a channel swim. There's an awful lot of work and preparation goes into it, and it's a very fine line. It's seen as a success if you only complete it, whereas there's an awful lot of work in it, and we do all support each other. We're all different ages and sizes and specs and strokes and stuff like that, and we make a point of everybody cheers everybody else on.
Can I ask you, Bryn, do you practice every day? Do you swim every day?
I don't swim every day. I mean, I would, given the choice. I made a point of swimming at least twice a week.
Okay.
I've got my training log in front of me, which is a requirement that Fergal rightly introduced, I think, to make sure that people had put some effort into being ready. So I would swim at least twice a week, normally Saturday and Sunday mornings, typically in the local rivers. But this winter's not been too bad because we've actually had some cold weather. But last winter, there just wasn't any proper cold, and I didn't swim in temperatures below 5 degrees at all last year.
Okay.
The ideal is, as Fergal said, to try and swim a mile outdoors, in the elements each week. And then as the temperature drops, or the water temperature drops, then you sort of kind of go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that to underline what Fergal was saying, it's the preparation that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky enough to live where the water is cold, then you can swim as often as you're able to. If the water isn't cold enough for you to swim, then you've got to travel, to find somewhere. So I did a couple of swims in North Wales during the last 3 months. I was up there, and there's a good lake to swim in. And whilst the temperature there wasn't as cold as, with hindsight, I would have liked, it felt good at the time. And you do need those winds every couple of weeks just to know that you're on track.
Yeah, the weather's pretty similar here in Wales and England. Not much variance on it, really, I don't think, is there?
I think you're right. But with altitude, then obviously it's a bit cooler. So Loch Dan, which was, I mean, I don't know if you know, it was a beautiful setting. Fergal chose ever so well. And the Wicklow Mountains were hidden in fog as we drove up there in the coach. But on the way back under the sunlight, it was really pretty. And so North Wales is very similar. But over here in Cambridgeshire, it's very low, very flat. The rivers are quite big. And to be honest with you, they're too warm for ice swimming.
Okay.
But they're great preparation.
Is there any other sphere, Fergal or Brian, that you'd like to get into? I mean, this is, sounds like it's all sort of channels and cold water swimming like that. Is there any other sphere of swimming, either of you? I'll ask Fergal first, then I'll ask you, Brian, that you'd like to get into, that you've thought about?
I don't know. I think I got into this because of my marathon swimming exploits, which started in Inish Man to Rossaville. I went on the English Channel, and after doing the English Channel, I was aiming for the North Channel. And one of the main factors in the North Channel is that it's cold. It's much colder than the English Channel. It's rougher, and there's usually way more jellyfish. So I trained over 2 winters in preparation for the North Channel. I had a go the first year. I was taking out after an hour and a half in bad weather. And I kept it going, and that's how I got into the winter swimming and Dyke Shaun. I found it, you know, it was something to do the other 2 months of the year when it's not summer here now, like, you know.
Oh, yes.
So what about yourself, Brian? Have you expanded in any way, or just sticking what you're enjoying at the moment?
Well, I'm going to carry on doing what I enjoy, which is swimming in the local rivers. That's just terrific, and taking as many holidays as my budget will allow, that nearly always includes swimming. But a personal interest of mine, and something that I'm working on over here, is trying to improve water safety and water appreciation. We had a fatality in a local river here on the first day of the school holidays in the summer, and a tragic accident. But it was an accident where it could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. The young man who lost his life was a non-swimmer. His friends had encouraged him to jump in. He jumped in twice, and everything was great. He jumped in a third time and never came back.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to use my profile here. I'm reasonably well known in St. Neots to encourage the authorities to take river appreciation and river awareness a little bit more seriously. But I guess that's a personal crusade, if you like, rather than a physical swim that I want to achieve.
Okay. Well, we have.
I've still got ambitions to swim the Channel. So yeah. One day I'll be back in the Dingus Channel, looking to find my way to France.
I'm sure you will. We have Irish Water Safety here, and they have a website, and they've lots of things on it. And because of the popularity of water sports and all sorts of things going on, and people doing silly things as well with alcohol on them, the warnings are out there all the time, and they go through schools and teach. Do you have anything similar over in England?
Yes, indeed. The Royal Life Saving Society, which celebrates its 125th year in 2016, fulfills that function over here, sort of a state-supported charitable organisation. But I have to say, Fergal and his team were great hosts. On the Sunday, they took us down to High Rock and then down to Low Rock, just north of Dublin, I think it is. And there was a fantastic sort of beach hut, a sort of stone-built, bright yellow building. And I was talking to various people. There was a gentleman in his early 70s.
Yes.
Said he's been swimming down there for 50-odd years. And I get the impression that open water swimming and the enjoyment of the sea and marathon swimming is much better ingrained in Irish sort of activities and society than it is in on the mainland over here in the UK.
Well, I think you're right there, Brian, and it's all to do with education, and you're trying to set that up where you are. Fergus, you wanted to make
Here in Ireland, we do have swimming as a compulsory component on the curriculum in primary schools. On Saturday, we were very lucky. We had Emma Cadden, President of Swim Ireland, with us. We had Adam, beg your pardon, his name escapes me, from Swim Ireland, out there as well. And Swim Ireland are very active in encouraging swimming for all ages. They have a current campaign going on now called Swim a Mile, which is 64 lengths of a pool. We're trying to bring people up to that standard. And also on Saturday, we had a very good friend of mine there, a young Ger Carty, who swam the Channel the week before me. And he's the sports officer with Dublin City Council, and he's very involved in Irish water safety. And also, I've worked with Ger, and he brings groups out to the sea to encourage them in open water swimming from all over Dublin all through the summer. So there is that encouragement there. But like Brian says, there has been fatalities here. unnecessary fatalities here. Swimming is the is a sport that's rightly on the curriculum, and it's the only sport that we teach people that will actually save your life. Mm-hmm. And it's something that everyone
Well, it's okay. That's fine. But congratulations to you, Brim, by the way, for setting it up. But you can teach people to swim, but you have to teach. They have to teach themselves to be sensible. I mean, we have Irish Water on here at least maybe a dozen times a year, and they come on, and people keep making the same mistakes. I mean, people that are maybe just swim in warm weathers, or they're in Spain and they swim, and they come home and jump into the Irish Sea, and they get the shock of their lives. And it could be something that could be that could kill them. And they don't seem to realise that. Or people, as I said, swimming with alcohol, going out in boats with alcohol, with all the new things that they're doing with the what did he call them, skis and all the sort of
jet skis.
Yeah, all these things. Like, so a bit of common sense has to go with your training and your skill at swimming, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right, and we used the word preparation before, and preparation is what makes you ready to do these sorts of things. And I think that the relative youth of today, and you know, both of my children are probably, well, one's a teenager and one's just graduated, mm-hmm. they don't have the risk appreciation or the risk awareness that I suspect, that certainly Fergal and I had, because when we were growing up, you know, you took chances with your friends, and if it went wrong, it was down to you.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I just don't think there's the same level of appreciation amongst amongst our young people. And some take chances without realising the risks that are involved. And that's part of the lesson. So swimming is a great life skill, and I thoroughly enjoy it. But if we can just get people to be a bit more respectful of the water, then I think that'll be half the battle won.
OK, well, listen, good luck with all your endeavours in the future, Bryn. It's been a pleasure talking to you over there. What's it like over there, by the way, in Wales? No, you're not in Wales. Where are you again?
I'm near Cambridge. It's overcast. Near Cambridge. It's overcast, and it's reasonably bright. It's not raining, but we don't get the level of rain that you guys do over there, I'm afraid. They do on the west side in Wales, but not east coast of England.
No, I can't let him away with that. We actually gave him an absolutely fantastic day during lockdown. We actually brought one of July days forward. Could I actually just very quickly, and I know you're under pressure for time, there's a couple of people also involved in the safety of it there on Saturday that actually we need to thank as well. And one is Barry O'Shaughnessy. He's the head of the Scouts in lockdown and has been watched over us for our last three. Also, he was joined this year by Lena and the Lear Canoe Club, and we had lots of people out there from Eastern Bay, Joe Martin, Robbie Clark, Declan Proctor, who's been all have been great supporters for us for the last few years, and thanks to all.
Okay, congratulations everyone on the achievement anyway. Just finally, as quickly as you can in about 20 seconds, what's up next for you, Fergal?
Lunch.
Okay. Was he that witty when you were here, Bryn?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've got 15 seconds left, may I just thank Fergal and all the team on behalf of the swimmers. We call us international swimmers, if you like, but we're swimmers. And Fergal and his team there, and the location and the scouts, and especially the kayakers, they all did a terrific job in making sure that not only did we have the opportunity to swim the Ice Mile, but we did it safely under the watchful eye of people that knew what they were doing. And I'm embarrassed to say that there was two gentlemen who helped me to get dressed afterwards, because I was a little bit of a shivering mess.
Okay.
I'd never met them before, but I did have a chance to say thank you to them on the Sunday under the bright sunshine at Low Rock. And Fergal should be rightly very proud of putting on a terrific event.
Okay, thanks very much, Bryn, and good luck to you. Thank you, and goodbye to you there in Cambridge. Okay.
Cheers now, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, bye. And also to you, Fergal. Thank you very much, and enjoy your lunch. Okay. And that's Bryn at Dermot, and also Fergal Somerville there. And we'll be talking to Fergal, no doubt, in future with more endeavours and achievements that the you have under the belt.